Right? And this is not to pat ourselves on the back and say, aren't we wonderful? Wow, look at all the stuff we did. No, it's to say God is good, God is faithful. Look at all that happened here because we've just asked God to work in great ways. That's why we celebrate, because we just want to celebrate the goodness, and all of that comes from our Heavenly Father. So just a little recap, and then I want to jump into what this year holds and some things we're going to focus on this year. When we kind of came out of, right, the whole COVID thing, pandemic, it was, we need God to do a new thing, change some things up. Last year was our year of teams. We really tried to say what could happen. And I think a lot of the results you saw was because of that. People taking some responsibility, using the gifts they had to say, what could God do with these? So that's really what's been happening here over the past year. And so for the past couple years, we've been doing a verse for the year. So last year, here was our verse, that my house will be called a house of prayer. And Jesus says, but you're turned into a den of robbers. So we said, we can't let that happen. We can't make sure that there are no obstacles. There's nothing in the way. There's nobody stealing what Jesus wants to do here. And that's what he was so upset about in Matthew chapter 21. Why are you making it hard for people to worship? Why are you putting things in their way? And so that was the verse we looked at last year. And because of that, if you remember, you know, it's like, wow, it's been a year. Wow, it's been a long time. So we kind of look back and say, hey, we did that whole thing called Draw the Circle. We kind of did that together, 40 days of prayer. The prayer team is formed out of that. Many of you found great benefits. And, you know, Kim is our prayer team leader. And if you get the newsletter, which you should get the newsletter, she called me up the other day, got to include my number so people can text me their prayer requests. So that is available. So, okay, that's what prayer service is about, being able to do that, having a prayer team to lift up those prayer requests. And if you so want, because it's only if you want, okay? Kim does not call me every day. Hey, guess what text I got today? Okay, that doesn't happen, okay? She gets those. If you ask that that be shared, then she shares it with a team of people who are willing to pray about that. So I just want to make sure you understand that, and that's kind of been this past year. Now, so we look ahead this year. This has really changed. I have wrestled with a few verses, and then I'm going to tell you 7 weeks ago everything changed. For me, everything changed as far as what I really believe and sense direction from God about this year. So, 7 weeks ago, if you remember that far back, we were in the Sermon on the Mount. We were talking about all sorts of different things, the new king, the new kingdom, the euangelion, all those things that we talked about. And that week was about marriage, because Jesus has stopped and says, yeah, you think you know all about adultery? No. No, you got this all wrong, and began to teach them about it. And really, he was trying to get them to understand what is the way of Jesus when it comes to marriage. And so I have, this statement has been around. We've worked on it. I had some pastor friends help me. And this has been a statement that I have read. It's on our website. We've used it all sorts of places. So 7 weeks ago, I stood up here and I read this. Marriage is a sacred bond, a covenant between one man and one woman, instituted by and publicly entered into before God, which is permanent, sacred, intimate, mutual, and exclusive. 7 weeks ago, that's where we were. Little would I know that after reading that statement, 9 days later, our prestigious people, who are smarter than all of us, right, in our nation's capital, decided, nah, I understand God says that, but you know, God, you just got to get with the program. It's 2022, and we think we're going to change that. And that's what they did, okay? 9 days after I read that statement, it was voted on and changed by the Senate. A couple weeks later, done by the House, signed in by the President, okay? So I'm just going to tell you, that statement is against federal code. That's where we are. That has really just gone, oh. I mean, I had heard about it before then. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do that, right? They're not going to do that, right? Everybody's going to call them up and say, oh, don't do that. Oh, no. Oh, no. No, they're going to do that. They're going to do that because they don't understand anything. Most of them said, oh, yeah, but it's already decided because it's Supreme Court. And what are you people talking about? Okay, that's what they did. So I just want you to understand that totally changed my perspective, because this is my phrase, and you have heard of it from a famous movie. We're not in Kansas anymore. I don't know what we thought we were, where we thought it was, what we thought everybody thought about around us, what we thought our nation thought, what we thought our lawmakers thought. I don't know about you, but I went, oh. Now, I had seen some stuff before, okay? I watched some things, but this one really just went, oh, wow. I don't ever remember standing up and was talking about scripture and then just watching our lawmakers just like wipe it out 9 days later. I don't remember that ever happening. Okay, maybe it has. I don't remember it. And that just made me go, oh, okay, we're in a different place. I told the guys yesterday at men's breakfast, that for me has meant my personal study is in the book of Daniel. Not because I think it's cool and I want to figure out all these images. Forget about that. Okay, because Daniel is in Babylon. Okay, he wakes up and he's like, oh, this is not my home. Okay, this is not what I'm used to. Okay, there is no temple. It's been wiped out. There's none of this. And what on earth am I going to do? They changed my name. They did all these different things to me. Now they're going to teach me the language and the culture, and you're going to be a Babylonian. He's got to wake up one day and go, oh, huh, I guess I live in Babylon now. What am I going to do? How am I going to respond to that? And what is God called me to do living here? Living here, what does that look like? Now, Jeremiah gave the people instructions. And I think Daniel listened to Jeremiah and went, oh, that's what we're supposed to do. Because he actually did it. Ha! How about that? He actually listened to a prophet and did what he said. And we have his incredible story about all that happened in his life. So I'm not referencing that today. I'm just telling you that is my mindset. So that's going to shape what I talk about this morning and what we think about as we look into 2023, okay? So here is the verse. Here it is. Psalms 138:2. When I cried out for help, you answered me. You made me bold and energized me. Isn't that an interesting verse? Right? When I cried out for help, you answered me. It's like God did, oh, God did, oh, God take care of it, right? The next day, they'll just reverse it. No. You made me bold. You energized me. Now, I want to give you a couple things about this verse. First of all, the context. Now, while it will say in your Bible, this is a Psalm of David, most scholars look at this and say, this was about exile. This is what the people in exile leaned at and used and remembered and recited. In other words, they looked and said, gosh, if we're going to survive in Babylon, I think we better need some of that strength, some of that boldness. I think I need someone to energize me or all of that. I think we need that. I really think we need that. So I want to let you know, the context is that. The context is what happens when everything around us begins to change. And wake up and go, wow, this is really different. This is really different than what I was used to. I didn't expect this to happen. What do we do in those moments? So here we go. What's the next thing it says? They prayed. I cried out for help. That's just prayer. Okay? That's just prayer. In fact, that's desperate prayer. That is, oh, God, you have to help me. You have to help me. You have to help me. Otherwise, this isn't going to work. I don't know what to do. This is hard. This is difficult. I've not been here before. Okay? This is not the place I grew up in. It has changed. And I don't know what to do. They cried out. They realized in their desperation, the best thing they could do is cry out to God. Do you understand? So often God wants to get us to the same point that in our moment of desperation, he would love for us to cry out to him instead of, oh, gosh, I guess I got to get a new planner and figure this out. I guess I got to get this. I guess I got to, you know, watch some YouTube videos and figure this out. No, we cry out for help. That's where 2022 is really, really important. Isn't God amazing at times? He lays the foundation for us and then says, okay, yeah, you wondered why that was there? You wondered why you talked about prayer last year? You wondered why you did these things concerning prayer? Oh, I'm going to tell you why. Because guess what? You're going to need it. You're going to need it this year. You're going to need it more than you've ever needed it before. And I implore you to cry out for help. God is just inviting us to do that. And so I'm going to ask you to do that. Yet what was our reaction? Oh, gosh, what are we going to do about this? How many of you actually, I want to ask for a raise of hands because your pastor flipped, you know, messed this up too, right? What's the first thing we did? I'll tell you the first thing I did, and I'm not very proud of it, but I will be honest this morning. I got on Twitter and I told our senator from Iowa that was a big mistake, okay? That's what I did, okay? That's my little Twitter verse that I like to watch what's going on and have subsequently told her, what are you doing? Where's the standing up for marriage? Okay, and she wasn't alone. There's a lot of other people in Congress who did the same thing. Okay, I did not cry out to help and say, God, you've got to help us. I went tweets. I got to tweet this out. Okay, I got to reply to a tweet because that's what I'm supposed to do in times of trouble. No, right? It is cry out for help. So I am going to urge you, if you can find a moment that you'll remember to do this every single day, would you cry out to the Lord for help for our nation? For our nation. Some of the greatest things, when you read the history of God's people, it's so amazing. Because let me tell you, even though things got bad, and it always went by leadership, okay? Read the book of Judges. It's a roller coaster, okay? Oh, we were terrible. And then God comes and rescues us. Yay, right? Yay, Gideon. Yay, you saved us. 5 years later, boom. I mean, just right straight back down, okay? That's all it was. And it always rose and fell on leadership. What was the leader doing? Was the leader urging us on? Be faithful, follow the Lord. Or were they just up for their own thing and sacrificing, to different gods or whatever they were doing? Okay, what were they doing? Because it always went by how they did it. So you see this. You see this up and flow. And did everybody give up? Nope. Nope. They didn't give up. They cried out to the Lord for help. You see that all the time in the book of Judges. They cried out to the Lord for help. The Lord provides for them and rescues and helps them and gives them what they need in that time. So I would really, really, really encourage you. If you're as frustrated as I am, the best thing we can do is to pray. The best thing we can do is to pray. And I would encourage you to do just that. The next part of that is what? And you answered me. Now, how does God answer? Normally it's yes, no, or wait. And we all hate no and wait, okay? Let's just be honest, okay? There's only a third of those we're even happy with. Why'd you say no? God, why'd you say no? Or then he says wait, and wait's probably worse than no because at least we got an answer. What am I waiting for, okay? Because we're very, as we talked about last, we're very impatient people, and I want stuff to happen quickly. And, right, grace and truth take what? They take time, redemptive time with Jesus to do anything. So he answers us, and he does that in what? Yes, no, or wait. Some of you are in a yes phase where God has answered, and he's working, he's doing what you're asking to do, and you're excited. And some of you are in that no phase, and you're just disgusted, and you're upset, and I can't believe God's not doing this. And then many of us are in wait. Wait, I got a plan. I know you want it done now, but if I would wait till here, where I see it working out perfectly, oh gosh, you will be glad that I waited, okay? Because I see time so differently, and I see perspective and history so different than you do. And goes what? Strength and boldness are both needed for such a time as this. That's what God gives them. Whether they're crying out, asking them, get us out of here, which took, by the way, 70 years living in Babylon, 70 years, okay? So there was a lot of wait. Wait, can't you send us home to Israel? Wait, wait, wait. Some of those people never saw the answer to that and never saw the going home and the rebuilding and putting things back together. So strength and boldness are so needed for a time such as this. And remember what Jesus promised us? I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, will not overpower it. I think sometimes we just need to go back and remember that. Remember that. The church has thrived in all sorts of places. In all sorts of places. In places where it's been illegal. In places where it's been outlawed. In places where it's not allowed to be. It has thrived in all sorts of different environments. Why? Because of this promise. Nope, not going to overcome it. It's not going to overcome it. It's not going to overcome it. So, our context. Let's talk about this for a moment. So, prayer is going to be really, really important. So what are you praying for? Can I just help us out? The first is what we learned in the Sermon on the Mount. We pray kingdom come, the already, the not yet. We ask God to build his kingdom here, work through us and in us. And we also know that one day, because you read this all in scripture, one day, it doesn't mean we just sit around for one day. It means there's work to do until one day. And so that's the first thing we want to be praying, kingdom come. God, where am I not building your kingdom? Sometimes we tend to build our own kingdom. We tend to build somebody else's kingdom. We need to build Jesus' kingdom, okay? The second thing, reaching nuns, duns, and unduns. We've talked about that before. How important is that? That's kind of what we look at as our mission, nuns, duns, and unduns. The nuns, they have no faith. I'm telling you, all the data that comes out says that group is growing bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger all the time. The duns. Who are the duns? Some of you have been duns. You had a bad experience. Let me tell you, these are kind of the people, I love finding them on Twitter and hearing their story, okay? Because they'll get on there most of the time because they're so upset at the church. Sometimes it's because God has worked in them and through them, and now they're on just talking about and saying, hey, churches, don't make this mistake. And there's been all sorts of things. The church has gotten wrong, okay? And that's not to say we won't get things wrong, but you have to help us if we are getting things wrong. The last thing to do is to walk away and nobody knows your story of what's going on. That's the worst thing you can do, because then sometimes people don't know and people don't act and people can't say, that's ridiculous, that needs to stop. That needs to stop, that should never have happened, that should never take place, and things happen. Sometimes it's for silly things. And can I tell you why sometimes those things happen? Because we don't know how to find out what's going on, and we don't know how to protect unity. And talk about that this morning, how important it is to protect the unity of the church. We talk about it all the time. Now, I'm going to tell you what that means to most people. That means, oh, we just got to make everybody feel nice and happy, and oh, we just got to keep the peace. No. Keeping the peace isn't anywhere in Scripture. Search for it sometime. Not there. Okay? Because that's not what it's about. It's about making sure that when people are upset about things, as trivial as you might think they are, that you help them get answers for that. You help them talk to somebody. Because otherwise, you know it's not the trivial thing, because me and my pastor friends talk about this all the time. You know why? Because they go to another church that does the same thing. Okay? They go to another church that does the same thing. Right? Whether it's the music, you know, that used to be a big one, then why are you going to a church that does the same music? Okay, that doesn't make any sense, because it's normally something else. So let me give you a really silly illustration, okay? And I purposely did this morning. So some of you who, you know, grew up, and I did as well, let me tell you, I could, you know, I'd probably get speeches if I still had relatives in my life that were still alive to say, Ed, why are you preaching in jeans? Okay? Right? We're going to talk about that for a moment. Because some of you might be upset about that. I can't believe it. And on top of him preaching in jeans, oh my goodness, he's got his shirt untucked. I mean, that's got to be at Leviticus, you know. That's just got to be. That's got to be in there somewhere, okay? Maybe the message, okay? You can talk about a shirt being untucked. It's got to be bad, right? So did all of that this morning because it's serious. Right? It seems trivial. But sometimes it's those things that start. So let's say somebody goes to you and says, oh, I can't believe it. Really? Really, jeans? Really? Didn't tuck his shirt in? This is terrible, okay? This is terrible. Where's the coat and tie, right? Didn't he grow up in a time we'd come to? Absolutely, I did, okay? And when my mother, who tried to get a coat and tie on me every Easter, heard that I was going to be a pastor, she applauded and said, oh, Lord, thank you, because he's going to have to wear a coat and tie every week, okay? Let me tell you, she was excited about that. So she would look and go, oh, my goodness, really? Really? Okay, so I understand. So it's, what do you do when someone says that to you? Well, you know, you could go talk to Ed. I'll go with you, and we'll go talk to Ed if that really bothers you. It's not going, well, you know, he's just trying to be hip and cool and fit in. Okay, that's the worst thing you could say, okay? Whatever you try to say to just try to, oh, no, let's just make the peace. Let's just keep peace. Let's just keep everything nice. It's not a big deal. And nobody talks about it. Nobody talks about it. The problem is, quite often, can I just tell you what happens? Either the gossip comes back to somebody who will tell me, and now it's like past like 5-6 people, okay? So now it's not just a few, it's a bunch of people. And all of a sudden, you know, I find out about it and go, well, what am I supposed to do? Go back to the fifth person to go and say, oh, hey, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you, right? And have that conversation. Well, that'd be really weird, okay? That would be really weird. It'd be much better if you came and the person who heard you came and we talked about it. Because can I tell you what worse is? I do get compensated for doing this. You might talk about somebody who doesn't. And that could blow them up. You don't have any idea. That could just blow somebody up. And I understand you might have legitimate concerns, so tell somebody about it. Come and talk to a person about it. Because there's too many people who are duns for things that really don't matter. Now, there's people who are duns for things that are terrible, terrible, and never should have happened. And the church was totally at wrong, totally at wrong. And leaders, instead of standing up and say, Pastor, whoa, you can't do that. They just went and said, yeah, but we can't have him leave because we have him leave. Who else? And we operate out of fear and we don't stand up and do what's supposed to be done. So please tell somebody, because we don't want people being done. Unduns. Unduns are people who have just gone through some really difficult things in their life. It is why we asked our community outreach fund to help people who have chosen because of life circumstances to be homeless. How can we help them? How can we serve them? Well, guess what? Lighthouse Community Center is doing that. And so we get to partner and be a part of that and see that happen because some people are just undone. And because of all the things that have happened in their life, they just need help getting back up on their feet. Strength and boldness. By the way, this does not mean be a jerk. I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean start fights on Facebook. This is not what it means, okay? This is not what strength and boldness means. It means you need to know the truth and you need to stand up for that, okay? So are you taking responsibility for knowing and acting on the truth? Do you understand? You are responsible for that. You're responsible for knowing and acting on the truth. This means parents. What are you doing in your home? If you think, well, I sent my kid and they go over to children's church and then when they have Wednesday night, you know, we send them here, so everything's okay. That there's my responsibility. Oh, no. And I would love to help you. There are all sorts of resources. One my friend introduced me to a few weeks ago, called the New City Catechism. It just helps teach very simple things. This is for kids. This is one a week. This is really, really simple. Grandparents, if you're like, well, I don't know what to do because, you know, my kids don't take my grandkids to church. Guess what? You could do this with them. Because I guarantee you, okay, if you say, can the kids come over one night? They're not going to say, no, I don't think so. How quickly can we be there, okay? All right? How quickly can we come over? They will do that, okay? You can do this with them. You can do this with them. You can say, I'll invest in them. I'll invest in making sure they know the truth. I've told you this before. The person who led me to Christ was my grandmother. Was it not happening in my home? No. Was it not said in my home? No. Did we not go to church? No. None of that happened. But she was the one who took initiative and made sure. Okay? So I understand this. Sometimes you just have to do that because another voice from the outside will be really, really important. We will do what we can, but we can't do everything. And your kids, whether you understand it or not, are inundated every day with things that you would probably just go, what? Okay? Because we stopped teaching basics a long time ago, and we've gone to all sorts of stuff that's absolutely ridiculous. So how's it happening in your home? Are you taking responsibility? I need to know the truth and act on the truth. I need to know the truth and act on the truth. I need to know what Scripture says so that I can actually act on it and do it. You're responsible for doing that. You're responsible for that happening in your family. You're responsible. Grandparents, take some responsibility to help that happen in your kids. And maybe your kids are awesome and they're making sure that happens in your grandkids. Great. Okay? But if you have that opportunity, pour into them. Pour into them. Don't say, well, it's nothing I can do. No, try. Try and see what happens. There are so many ways that you can do that. But take responsibility. I need to know the truth, and then I need to act on the truth. And yes, in our culture, you don't agree with me, you must hate me. I don't know where that came from. That is true. That's true all over the place. And okay, that's part of what we're going to do. That doesn't mean we abandon truth. It means we love people where they're at and say, no, I'm responsible knowing the truth. Here's the truth. Here's what Scripture teaches. Okay, no, I don't hate you. No, I love you, but I am not going to do something that Scripture tells me not to affirm and not to say, go for it. Oh, everybody else does. It's 2023. It's all good. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. So how can I help you, encourage you, love you, where you're at, and what it is that you are going through? So here's kind of my statement at the end here. God, give us boldness and strength to see what you see and follow you through it all. Give us boldness and strength to see what you see and to follow you through it all. So as we end this morning, I want to go back to this scripture. And I would like for us to stand and read it together. And I'm going to pray, and then we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to sing a song this morning, brand new song. Those of you who saw it on, we kind of sent it out. Great song. It's really more of a modern hymn by the same people wrote in Christ Alone, and we've sung that before. But really focus on the words. For some of you, this is going to be a brand new song. That's fine. It's all good. Focus on the words. These words are incredible because they remind us what we need to do in boldness and strength that God would work in and through us. All right, you ready? Here we go. When I cried out for help, you answered me. You made me bold and energized me. Psalms 138:2. Memorize it this year. Let's see what God will do. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We know these are difficult and challenging days. Days we didn't think would happen. But we know your people can thrive in all sorts of places. We have text of Daniel and his three friends thriving in Babylon. So help us, because we're crying out to you that we might be your followers in the land in which we live. Give us strength. Give us boldness. Energize us for the year ahead. No matter what happens and no matter what takes place, we just surrender to you and cry out and ask you to help us. This is the land in which we live, a land in which we love. Help us to follow you better and to speak and proclaim truth. And love the people around us and see the difference that you do in our hearts and lives and in this church. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.